Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World Title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for 10 pounds of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from The Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a happy birthday to you, Oliver.
Cheers,
Davis.
Buddy.
Although by the time the people have heard this episode, your birthday will have been 2 days ago. So unfortunately, we don't have an update on Switchgate.
Yes, well, I haven't had it yet, but it is, I did confirm it is something you can spank someone with.
Oh, really?
A Switch, yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you did you confirmed that. I thought you meant you'd confirmed whether you were getting a Switch or not for your birthday.
No. It's a slang. It's a piece of slang.
I see.
The word Switch. But yeah, I'm hopeful. My mum said it would arrive about 2 p.m.
Is there someone home?
There isn't anyone
home.
Oh,
no.
I know. It's a bank holiday weekend.
Oh, which means you can't even pick it up tomorrow. Oh, you need that for the bank holiday weekend,
know.
Man.
That was my plan. Oh. My lady partner was like, oh, we should paint the living room. And I was like, no, let's not do that.
Should we?
But yes, you've got some correspondence.
We've got kind of quick fire today on the intros and outros because we have got a lot to record today and we're kind of losing a day because of the bank holiday. I'm doing all the news tomorrow and you're having the day off.
I'm sure that will go down well.
I'm sure people will love it. But we did get this piece of correspondence here from Victor Holland. So this is in relation to yesterday, us talking about quote-unquote me turning heel and what that would involve. I said, oh, I would cut like a your local sports team thing. And I said, oh, do you know who are rubbish? The San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
Boo, they're rubbish. Well, Victor Holland got in touch to say the Chargers left San Diego for LA over a year ago. I would have applied for an internship with them this summer had they not moved to a training facility in Orange County. Thus, I would actually agree with heel Luke since I am among the many San Diegans who are no longer Chargers fans. So I actually would have gotten over as a heel by saying San Diego Chargers.
What a ridiculous country America is, where sports teams are brands that can move locations. We don't have that over here.
I remember once just not understanding that. Absolutely just did not 100% understand that was a thing, and neither did my friend. And we got into a massive argument over whether the Raiders were the LA Raiders or the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
Because I had seen LA Raiders and he had seen Oakland Raiders, and we were just like, no, I've definitely seen it. They're the LA Raiders. He was like, we just did not understand the concept that these teams can move. I didn't actually know that was a thing until I watched basketball.
The Matt Stone and Trey Parker movie, done by the Zuckers. And they make jokes about it in there, and I'm like, oh, so teams can move. Because they even say, the LA Raiders moved to Oakland and then back to LA. No one in Oakland seemed to notice.
That was a time before the internet where you could have just found this out with a quick Google.
Simpler times.
So let's get on with the show. And this comes from a mixture of news reports and fan questions this week, because there was a report from The Wrap, which is not a dirt sheet, it's not a wrestling media source, it's a respected film...
Was once a respected film
and, you know, media trade magazine,
yes,
or place like that. And they're reporting that Paul Heyman has just signed a deal with a studio to start pitching his own TV show.
Unscripted TV shows.
I've pulled a few quotes, actually.
Oh, lovely stuff.
So, because it is quite ridiculous. So this is with a guy called Roy Bank and Roy Bank Studios.
This third quote in particular. This is the one I was reading this morning, which is like, it's such a Paul Heyman thing to say.
It's very noughties. Like, it doesn't feel very teens, no, which we're in right now, of course. Yeah, this is with Roy Bank, of Roy Bank Studios, who is a producer behind The Apprentice.
Mm.
Imagine Paul Heyman in that sort of Apprentice
role. The Apprentice role. Well, yeah. I mean, they need a new host for it, really, don't they? Because Schwarzenegger didn't do as well as they'd hoped.
And Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? So, it's been described as the show will straddle the line between talk, opinion, comedy and pop culture, all with the one-of-a-kind Paul Heyman brand and energy as the driving force.
Yeah, because I think, if I was reading a quote, Paul Heyman didn't want to be like the star of the show, but he was sort of talked into it by this Roy Bank chap.
Talked into it. You never know with Heyman.
But Heyman is now, he's going to be the star of this show, essentially. And it is going to be this unscripted format. It sounds really interesting, but the quote that really struck me was, if you don't mind, I'll quickly read now. This is a Heyman quote. It's a pretty radical concept, created by people with ADD, for people with ADD, to be enjoyed by people who would subscribe to a theology of ADD. It's a Paul Heyman quote and a half, that one there.
Yeah, repetition. It's, you know, you've got something repeated. He's such a master orator.
Yes.
And it's like these tricks of what do you call it when you argue with someone? It's not debate and it's something else. It's the structure of arguments. I can't remember it. But it's so ingrained within him, those rules, that he just speaks in platitude. It's incredible.
He is good.
But yet it is also... I mean, is ADD a thing anymore? I thought it was absorbed into the wider autism spectrum.
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know enough about the subject to be an authoritative figure.
Neither do I.
Or you shouldn't have brought that up, man, because that's what the comments will be talking about today.
It's I don't know if it's international or just National Autism Week.
Oh, yeah, it's a good point. Channel 4 have got a really interesting documentary up, I think, on this week about being on the spectrum. There's a documentary on Netflix about suppressing these sorts of things as well. Suppressing ADD. I think it's called Take Your Pills or something. I haven't watched it yet, but apparently it's quite good. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sure Paul Heyman deals with it really sensitively.
Well, I don't know. Like,
he's all about, I'm PC.
Because like when he said, it's a pretty radical concept created by people with ADD for people with ADD, to be sure, all this sort of stuff. Do you know what it reminded me of? The way that MTV used to film interviews and stuff in the 90s.
Unnecessary shots from...
Absolutely, yeah. Like, stuff in the 90s where it was like you had 20 cameras around one person. Some of them would be handheld and be filmed in black and white with grain put over it with a few frames missing.
Yeah.
Like, almost like an NWO promo package. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels this is what Paul Heyman's going to be doing with his little new series.
Emojis.
Ah, well, I mean...
Words on the screen as Paul Heyman talks. He hasn't got it yet. Now he can have a whole show like it.
I know, but is that a pretty radical concept? Because WWE are doing it now. Like, with WWE doing
more,
it, it's practically the norm.
They don't do it with boob emojis and poo emojis with the smiley
with
face.
The aubergine, which I recently learned is a knob one.
You only learned that recently?
Yeah, my wife told me that was it's an emoji... Well, an emoji as a way to say knobs, I think.
Yes,
The peaches to use bums.
There's another one for the lady part.
Is there really?
It's a taco. aubergine taco. Oh my God, that's what we make in our house. There's, yeah, the, oh, no, I can't look at an aubergine now without thinking, this is old news, man. This is 2016 emoji chat.
I don't really use emojis. Like, I didn't know my phone had emojis until, like, you know, actually when I started working for you, because I now just send you the devil horn emoji. Whenever.
Oh, I thought it was a too sweet.
Oh, well, yeah, well, we can't do that anymore. Cease and desist, mate. Sorry, yeah. So I just throw it as a devil horn. But you basically say, here's the work I need you to do today. And I just send that back as like a, got it, boss.
WWE never went after the emojis for doing the too sweet.
It's not really a too sweet because it's got like the thumb is in front of the two fingers.
The fingers were pressed together.
No,
there's another. I am
too sweet is not that much into pop culture that it's invaded emojis.
I am genuinely intrigued about what this show is going to be, though.
Back on topic.
The quote you mentioned earlier about Paul Heyman's objected to this being about him at all or being a feature. Here's the actual quote. I pulled that as well because it is very funny. So this is Paul Heyman. Should I do it as Paul Heyman? Against my strenuous objection. I'm not even going to bother.
I was going to say, that was just an Ollie Davis voice, slightly.
Roy Bank has decided our first collaborative project will be centered around me. I have come to the educated conclusion. Roy has made this decision based on a desire when pitching from the networks that we learn how to deal with rejection. So it's a very lovely self-depreciating thing, but anyway, this is a lot of preamble to get to the fact that also in this rap article that reported this and with the reports from Heyman, it said that Paul Heyman's contract expires at WrestleMania 34, just like Brock Lesnar's. So, even the article itself points out this could be Heyman setting up some post-WWE work to transition into. By all accounts, he's going to be going round with Roy Bank to pitch this new show to streaming services and traditional TV channels because, my God, what a good pitch man that would be. Imagine having Paul Heyman with a whiteboard.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Heyman, I think I said this before in a video, but my favourite comment about him is that he could sell a bacon sandwich to a vegan Jew.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
He's that good. He's so great at what he does.
So he's got that, or he could re-sign with WWE, do this on the side, and be paired with a new WWE wrestler if Brock leaves, which seems to be the case going to UFC.
Yeah, so, Meltzer said that in the Observer today, saying that he could possibly re-up, and there have been some talks about where he could go and who he might be partnered with.
And this ties in with an email we got from Brendan, or a Patreon question.
Patreon message
from Brendan McCarthy. Of course, if you want to ask questions, everyone on Patreon, no matter what tier you donate, can ask questions. So go over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page to check out all the rewards. Brendan McCarthy writes, if Brock loses and goes to UFC, should WWE try and retain Heyman? Yes.
Yes.
Who could immediately come out on SmackDown with a now champion slash heel Shinsuke Nakamura? Heyman, without missing a beat, uses his usual, my name is Paul Heyman, so on and so on, but this time introducing Nakamura. Nakamura, a cocky, arrogant, swaying champion who no longer needs to cut poor promos and just keep it simple with a I'm gonna knee you in your face line. Address Brock going on Raw the night after WrestleMania, keeping Heyman off as well. Heyman appears on SmackDown next night, saying, yada, 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 elevates Nakamura as the champion and keeps Heyman busy and at the top of the card. Obviously, all ifs and buts. What do you think of that?
I really like that. And do you know what it reminds me of? It all of a sudden, Wrestle Kingdom 10 all came flooding back to me. Do you remember like the promo package they had for Styles and Nakamura there, where it's just Styles on these lavish sofas in his really like fancy outfits and all that sort of stuff? Like, that's the Nakamura that we could really see. And him as this kind of cocky, arrogant heel champion who's just like, yeah, I mean, of course I'm the best. That's kind of like why I've liked his persona in this build up to WrestleMania, where it's just like, I mean, of course I'm going to win at WrestleMania. Look at me. I'm Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania. Knee to face. And I think that could be a really nice little character piece for him. Having said that, I also said I wanted that for Asuka as well. And you can't have both of them doing the same shtick, I suppose. Unless, of course, Asuka was also a Heyman girl and Nakamura was a Heyman guy.
And Paul Heyman turned Japanese. I think he's really turning Japanese. I really think so.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, exactly. So perhaps you could do it like this, like a little sort of faction stable thing. Because Asuka presumably will be moving across to SmackDown. should she win the SmackDown Live Women's Championship from Charlotte, which is one of the reported stories, because she's going to remain undefeated until WrestleMania 35, where she'll face Ronda Rousey.
I do like it because I like the idea of Heyman being with anyone that I like, particularly like Nakamura is limited in these English language promos, although I think they've struck the balance really well in recent weeks. Mm-hmm. So Heyman can only add to that package. However, I don't like the mentality that, and this seems to be a recent thing, if a wrestler is cocky or arrogant, that makes them a heel.
Mm.
Who's the best? You know, Rock. He's the cockiest, most arrogant person ever. Super babyface when he was a wrestler. I really like this babyface badass presentation of Nakamura that they've done, particularly in the last week with that the angle with AJ Styles. I want him like that. I want him as a babyface, but a cool three-dimensional babyface with heelish elements. But he's always, you know, the underpinning values are always kind of good. Or you just cheer for him because he's cool and he doesn't do bad stuff or cheat.
Well, I was going to say, like, the character I've just described there doesn't have to be an out-and-out heel, cheating to win and all that sort of stuff. He can still be the Nakamura wanting to win of his own accord because he thinks that he is the best. Well, he knows that he's the best and doesn't have to cheat to win and all that stuff. Not like that traditional heel. He could basically be the same character, but just be more of this sort of, like, cocky and arrogant thing about him. Doesn't necessarily make him a heel. Just makes him cocky and arrogant.
I just, if you have that and then add Paul Heyman, I think it's hard to
people
not
will automatically
make it.
Think, yeah.
So I wouldn't put Heyman with Nakamura. I think he's going to be fine if WWE continue the presentation they've done with him in recent weeks. I like Asuka. I like the Asuka idea as well. But likewise, she's been pretty damn good in recent weeks. I can't see. It's like, you know, as great as Paul Heyman and CM Punk were, they never brought, it was never more than the sum of its parts. It was the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
It was just two really awesome people together. But it wasn't elevated beyond that. Of course, it didn't work with Cesaro. With Brock Lesnar, it's amazing. So I think, obviously, the best thing to do with Paul Heyman is the Roman Reigns heel turn at WrestleMania 34.
Obviously.
Paul Heyman betrays Lesnar and sides with Reigns. That's the best thing for me.
I don't know if that is the best thing, though. Because, like, I think you have the exact same issue there that you have with Nakamura.
Mm.
I don't know, man. I wonder if it's because this is very much an internal thing for me. You know, I know it's sort of a personal thing. Because Reigns has never had a manager before, I keep looking at him and I was like, does he need a manager? Like, does he need...
Babyface Reigns has never had a manager.
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, because what I really liked about your fantasy booking, which I know is what you're alluding to, why your fantasy booking worked is because it was a stable, because it was a faction with, like, Reigns almost as, like, the top guy within that faction. That really works. Heyman and Reigns on its own, I don't overly buy into, but Reigns with the Usos and some other people, that I really like. I think that could really work. A person I would really like, if you were going to do, like, an NXT call-up, would be, like, Shayna Baszler.
I thought about that, but I think it's... I don't think you want Baszler up now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the Ronda Rousey stuff.
Oh, you don't want to wear a shadow around it.
Like,
yeah.
It'll be too similar. Be a bit Absolution Riot Squad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Also, I think it's almost slightly lazy in a way in WWE's part to be like, well, Lesnar's gone, so we'll just put Heyman with another UFC person or another mixed martial arts person.
Which is why I don't really like the Ronda Rousey idea.
Mm.
Like, I don't feel like she needs the pull. She doesn't need Paul Heyman either, in my head. Although it would be great for her not to talk, I don't think she has to talk.
Mm.
She can just be mean and doesn't need a manager or a mouthpiece.
Or just do those sit-down interviews like she did last week,
where
she can just be herself and be so much more natural with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, I was going to say, you just had
I've written down a few here.
You've written down a few, but there's one right at the end that I quite like. That's my eye sort of was drawn to, which is making him SmackDown GM.
Yeah, that's my favourite one other than the Roman Reigns heel turn.
Because if we can't find someone that he's good as a manager for, because every person we've suggested so far, like, but will this work? But not sure about this. Him as SmackDown GM, he's got prior. He was SmackDown GM previously.
Mm-hmm.
he gets to be on TV, he gets to just make matches, he gets to do backstage stuff, and that'd be really good. And as you've written here, a great foil to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Because I'm presuming post-WrestleMania, we hope, well, as we discussed on Wednesday's show, Daniel Bryan stepping down as SmackDown GM and being a full-time wrestler again, as, well, as full-time as Randy Orton can be, I suppose, you would, you know, having a, he could then go slot into that top babyface slot and then have the heel authority figure trying to keep him down. It's typical, I suppose, because it's basically what they did with the authority. Mm. But Heyman's so good,
yeah,
and Daniel Bryan is so great, I think that could really work.
The idea of Heyman back on SmackDown just makes me it feels, yeah, right, doesn't, yeah, it? Like of course he wouldn't be able to pay off on any of those matches with Bryan, so he would need a cipher. So it's like, who is that top heel on SmackDown going to be that Paul Heyman favours over the Bryan side of things?
Who will be the top heels on? Because if
well, I've written a Bobby Lashley return.
Yeah,
I mean that kind of fits, but that's that MMA thing again. Lashley's not a great talker, so that fits. But I don't know. There's just no one really. I don't know if I want to see Paul Heyman as anyone's advocate.
Mm. Or, you know, heel Nakamura. Heel Nakamura.
Heel Reigns. Yes. but Braun Strowman and Dean Ambrose I've written down. And Samoa Joe. But those people, they don't need it.
We've just sort of listed people that don't really need a Paul Heyman. Whereas that's why I think like the SmackDown general manager role might be a really good slot for him. The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This podcast is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you'll get access to the Wrestle Ramble Extra, a monthly podcast where Ollie and I review shows from wrestling's past. If you pledge now, you'll get our back catalogue of episodes, including Money in the Bank 2011, Armageddon 2000, Wrestle Kingdom 10, and No Way Out 2004, and many others, as well as this month's episode, which will be WrestleMania 25. And $10 plus backers will become part of the Ramble Club, our new show where we talk about wrestling from around the world, including reviews of the Golden Lovers versus Cody and Marty Scurll, Austin Aries versus Eli Drake, and many, many more. All that and so much extra, so head over to patreon.com/wrestletalk for more information.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Elsewhere in the news of the week, Do you want to talk to us about some NXT stuff?
Well, NXT...
Because you are the NXT man.
Yeah.
You love it.
I do love NXT.
You
it's
love it.
It's such a great our weekly show.
You and Triple H, you need that hoodie that we had. Mark.
It's a quality hour of TV. Like, my two favourite shows to watch for a week are NXT and Ring of Honor. They're just an hour long each, and they're just so easy to watch and so enjoyable to watch as well. Love it as a show.
Mine's Queer Eye for a Straight Guy.
Yeah.
Love that show right now. I've learned a particular... It's given me actionable advice. Did I tell you about this?
No, you have not.
I think I was telling somebody else. So,
talking to other people.
Aftershave. Before I would, on the wrist,
yeah,
and then buff them together here. The smell on those like heat points wafts, but apparently that can be too much. So the Queer Eye's advice for this was you spray, so you spray in front of you in the air, delay, walk away. And the walk away is you walk through the scent and it goes over all of you.
Okay, I would say, I mean, applauds for the rhyming, but walk away suggests to me that you do this and then walk in the opposite direction.
No.
Spray, walk away.
Yeah, like, walk through and away.
But that doesn't rhyme.
You're going to ruin the cadence of the little haiku here. So spray, delay, walk away. I also
walk through. Walk through.
You're ruining my queer stuff. And every guy needs 3 pairs of jeans.
Oh, that's balderdash.
You need a black pair.
Nope.
You need a dark blue pair.
I have those.
And then you need a light blue pair.
I don't buy into the black pair. I have 2 pairs of jeans.
I'm wearing a black pair right now.
Yeah, that's fine. It suits you. Okay. Suits you, sir. But I own 2 pairs of jeans, and I think that's more than enough. Because the rest... And I only have to wear those for 3 months of the year, because the rest of the time it's short to clock.
You love shorts.
Bloody love wearing shorts.
So, NXT.
Back to NXT. So, NXT have last night's show, last night of this recording, we're recording this on a Thursday, have revealed that they're going to be holding a ladder match at NXT TakeOver New Orleans for the new NXT North American Championship. And that match is going to feature Adam Cole pulling double duty, because he's also in the tag team match with Kyle O'Reilly, because Bobby Fish is injured, versus the winners of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. So it's Adam Cole, Velveteen Dream, Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan.
I'm just seeing if you can do all these.
Ricochet and EC3. Trouble. So... 6 really big names in there. That's 2 debuts. Oh, I put up in the news today WWE.com's like verbiage that they've done to announce this, like the history making match that it's going to be.
Yeah,
with two groundbreaking newcomers vying to win this. I was like, no one talks like this.
Yes.
But yeah, so you've got 2 newcomers in there, 2 people making their NXT debuts in EC3 and Ricochet.
Really exciting. Really. With their old names, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And you've got Killian Dane, who is getting a quite big singles run at the moment. He had a great match with Aleister Black on TV a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago by this point. Lars Sullivan, who like the company really, really like. They've given him that cool new introduction where he's like just cast a shadow over NXT. And you've got Adam Cole in there.
Bay.
And who am I missing? And the Velveteen Dream, who obviously had that amazing match with Aleister Black last year at NXT TakeOver War Games. So 6 really cool names in there. I think it will be an excellent match.
Yeah.
I would put, I mean, this is hardly the hottest of hot takes, but I would put money down. This will be a good match, and it will be very fun to watch.
WWE have got like a few really mouth-watering things scheduled for WrestleMania weekend. You've got that. You've got the three-way tag match on SmackDown, which I'm really looking forward to.
Gargano Ciampa.
Unsanctioned street fight.
If their match is half as good as their Cruiserweight Classic first round match, it could possibly steal the weekend. I think it's going to be an absolute barn burner. Aleister Black versus Cien Almas is going to be... Oh, that's a mouth-watering match right there. And then, as you say, the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match on WrestleMania, that three-way is going to be awesome. AJ Nakamura, the intrigue of Rousey in her tag match. There's so much stuff over WrestleMania. I was looking at the card today and I was like, it's a stacked WrestleMania card. And we haven't even mentioned the in-ring return of Daniel Bryan.
Undertaker.
The Undertaker versus John Cena. Like, I know I got a lot of flack yesterday for the Raw vs. SmackDown review for being quote-unquote too negative, but I can't stress enough how excited I am for this year's WrestleMania.
Usually it's around now where I start to think, oh God, WrestleMania, it's going to be so long. I hate long wrestling shows. I hate long anything. But I'm genuinely excited for that WrestleMania card and watching it all the way through. However, you know, you look at the WrestleMania card, there's 14 matches there, and it is a bit, ugh, okay, there is 14 matches there. I'm really looking forward to these 7 matches, you might say. And you're like, oh, wow, a 7-match card that I'm really looking forward to. That's got to be one of the best shows of the year, right? Oh, but there's actually another 7 that I'm not as much looking forward to. Whereas NXT TakeOver,
yeah,
it's like just, what, like 5 matches?
And they're always
each
like...
each one I really can't wait for.
But there's other matches. Like you say, there's 7 matches that you're not as... I think the 3-way for the IC belts. Mm. I said at the during our Elimination Chamber review, because those 3 started off the match. I was like, if this is any indication of what we're going to get at WrestleMania, that's going to be a really good match. And I'm also really looking forward to Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali.
Like, yes,
the audience won't care, but I think that it could be, I think it could really be a lot better than Neville Aries was last year. Mm. I think it could be a really like an underlying, like, no one really knows it. Oh, actually, turned out this match was awesome.
I like the 3 modes of Luke. You've got a WWE shill,
which is what I'm currently in at the moment. Yeah.
You've got a smark who hates everything in wrestling, which you were.
I didn't hate everything. I didn't hate everything.
And then you've got the middle bit. It was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine.
Like, I don't think I was that negative on yesterday's show.
I'm kidding. There's loads of shades of Luke.
There's just 50 stuff,
shades
50
of Luke.
Shades of Luke. So yeah, that's sort of NXT stuff. EC3 made his debut on the show, came out in front of the crowd. Obviously, we don't count him sitting in the crowd for that other NXT show. And yeah, he basically came out and was just like, why don't you just give me the title?
What a way to debut. What an EC3 way to debut.
I'm so glad that Bobby Roode isn't there now. Mm. Because if Bobby Roode and EC3 were on the same show, it's like, oh, we're the same character.
Yeah. Although EC3's got he's just got a naturally more comedic face, the way you can animate it more. Whereas Bobby Roode's always, or with the gloriousness.
Oh man, we need a heel turn for Bobby Roode soon, man.
I indulged this morning in a bit of not ultimate deletion. What was it called? It was the Final Deletion. Yeah, the Final Deletion parody. Do you remember?
Oh yeah, the EC3 didn't like the hotel room and stuff. Yeah,
with,
yeah.
Spud, Brodus Clay,
yeah,
and Eli Drake.
Yes.
And man, if you haven't seen it, go and watch it because EC3. Is just chewing this hotel room and lobby up with his acting. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's great.
And Eli Drake's
forgotten about that.
Exasperated, what? face is just the perfect foil to it. But yeah, North American Championship.
How do you feel of it as a name?
I like it because it kind of harkens back to the old territory days. I definitely think that's in the design and Triple H probably thought that. But it's just like, what does it... Does NXT need it? Was the question.
Because everyone was like, well, they got the United Kingdom Championship that could have just filled that role. Now essentially, you've got 2 mid-card titles on NXT.
And it's like, what are the rules? What are the rules? What are the rules? It's a reference Luke doesn't get because he doesn't watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
that is a show I have not watched.
It's a great show.
I've heard.
And
my wife really liked it.
Yeah. So you've got like... Is it only North American people who can fight for it? I mean, is everyone... to go through those names again. Yeah, so Killian Dane is Scottish. He's Big Damo.
Yeah.
So no.
He's from Belfast.
From Belfast, sorry.
Oh,
God. I'm going to get crucified. So, back to WrestleMania weekend and how much we're all looking forward to it. Do you want to hear some possible surprises?
I was going to say, I've just seen this here.
Surprises.
We're recording this before I've seen your news episodes... Mm. For the Thursday, so this is a surprise for me, and quite the surprise it is. Why don't you tell the good viewers what this surprise might be? I mean,
well,
it's 2 days after you've done the news, so they would probably already know.
Yeah. This is just sort of the colour commentary to that news piece.
Mm.
So Sports Illustrated are reporting this, and I've written in my notes there,
dodgy source
now, because they are the same people who said that Undertaker matches off.
Oh, joy.
John Cena has asked for Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania, and they're going to go with that.
It's so funny. I was telling you about this, that when... So Cena challenged The Undertaker, And as soon as he did that, a lot of people were just like, oh, and Cena's like, but that match isn't going to happen. Mm. That match can't happen. And then Dave Meltzer reported is like, well, yeah, they said that because they want to throw people off the scent. They wanted people to think that it won't happen until we get past Fastlane, and then we can start moving towards that match. And then a lot of people in the Wrestling Observer boards were just like, yeah, but who's going to buy into it? Like, he said the match now, everyone's just going to know that match is happening. The very next day, Justin Barrasso reported, oh yeah, because that Undertaker match isn't happening now, it's going to be Rey Mysterio.
So I think...
So one person believed it.
Barrasso definitely has his WWE sources because he's broken too much stuff that turned out to be true.
100%.
But, you know, it's a fascinating world, wrestling journalism, which, you know, we are, I would call us news entertainers because it's not like we scour the internet and try and make sense of all this news from different websites and people. And so we're quite detached, and we can see like the little infighting and, you know, Ryan Satins and Dave Meltzer's and
Brad Shepherd's.
Yeah, and the way they're all trying to jockey for position. And I assume a very limited pool of sources in the major companies where they get these stories from. And, you know, you've got to think, so each of these journalists is going to, the Mike Johnson, sorry, his big name I omitted. They're all going to have their own agendas because they've got their sources that they need to protect, or like, oh, I'll do you a favor for this. But the sources, they've got their own agendas too. So, and JBL mentioned this in regards to Dave Meltzer recently and Bruce Pritchard.
Pritchard went on, yeah.
That, you know, those sources could just be feeding you stuff that was leaked to them intentionally by the office to throw off fans like us and these reports. And this, to me, screams it.
Yeah.
Like, we said, it's going to be The Undertaker, surely. And then that Sports Illustrated thing comes out. And he's, you know, multiple sources have confirmed John Cena is going to face Rey Mysterio. And, did not come to light. And this is the latest in a few stories that have gone that way for Sports Illustrated.
Yes, poor. I feel bad for Barrasso, really. It almost feels like he really is being played because he has got that big name behind him of Sports Illustrated. Because Sports Illustrated is, that's a mainstream publication, as opposed to the Wrestling Observer, which is just appealing to dorks like us and the dorks that watch this show.
Affectionately.
So, like, that's a really niche market. Sports Illustrated, on the other hand, they cover the NFL. They cover actual sports. So, like,
they have sexy covers.
They do. They do, like, swimsuit editions and all that sort of gubbin. So it really does feel that, like, they're almost intentionally picking on Barrasso by giving him duff information.
Yeah, because it's going to have the most widespread.
Exactly, yeah. Which is kind of genius, really.
Yeah. So we are just speculating that's the case. Rey Mysterio could still face John Cena.
It might happen.
Undertaker hasn't come out yet.
No, maybe on Monday he'll go like, Undertaker, do something, and then the lights will go out.
Booyaka, booyaka.
Then he'll jump out the stage and everyone will go like, oh, it is Rey. Oh, okay.
It's the Royal Rumble again. 2014 was that.
Yeah.
So this is a lot of preamble and big qualification disclaimer before we say that Sports Illustrated, again with the Mysterio, and spoilers, maybe, that Braun Strowman's tag team partner is going to be revealed at WrestleMania as being Rey Mysterio.
I'm going to put money on the line. No, I'm not going to put money on the line because I don't know this for a fact. But it almost feels that Barrasso sources Conan.
Yeah, could they just all... there's a theme to all of it.
That's what
Rey
I mean.
Rey Mysterio.
That's what I mean. His source is either Rey Mysterio or Conan.
Yeah.
He's just filling you, giving him duff information.
Or Michael Hayes. So the
hey, I know a little source for you.
So this is interesting because Mysterio was meant to appear at Strong Style Evolved. He was meant to wrestle, Jushin Thunder Liger last Sunday for New Japan, but he didn't because he's got a bicep tear, which is, you know, going to be healed relatively quickly, which is why WrestleMania could happen. But Mysterio appeared at the show, said he was sorry that he couldn't wrestle, but he promises he will wrestle in New Japan as soon as he can. And then he ran an angle after the match between his replacement Will Ospreay and Liger, saying, sort of setting up a potential match with Ospreay, with Liger, and even Marty Scurll, who ripped off Mysterio's mask and posed with it on his head, even though his head is way too big for Rey Mysterio's mask, so it was kind of only on his forehead.
Love all that.
So Rey Mysterio kind of has like this trilogy of matches that he said he's going to work soon. And he's also become a named investor in Aero Lucha, which is another wrestling promotion, which is trying to launch in the next couple of months.
They should be filmed. They're filming in May and June, I believe.
So Sports Illustrated did say if Ray comes back, it's expected to be a short-term deal. And that holds water because he'd presumably do the New Japan, the Aero Lucha stuff. And they also say to take the pin, potentially.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Which I don't know if you want to do that. Yeah, you've got to have Braun and Ray go over, really. But that would make him a tag team champion.
Yeah, well,
if this is true.
I say, of all the names that have been kind of bounded around for Braun, Ray's the one I believe I can buy into the least. Mm. Elias I can buy into. Big Cass, Big Show I can buy into because they are also tall. That I can buy into. Even Joe, like, I can buy into. But Reg is just, it's not one that I can... Of all the names I've seen, that's the one I'm like, nah, I don't see that one.
Be a WrestleMania moment, though. But and there have been reported negotiations between him and Triple
absolutely.
H.
And I think those are like more or less confirmed negotiations as well. But it's...
Conan texts me.
But I don't think it's... I think if Reg is doing something at WrestleMania, it's not this. He's in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. He'll be one of those like surprise entrants into the Battle Royal.
Like another name, which is Rock the Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, good old Rock the Dwayne Johnson.
So this is a crazy story. Oddschecker, suddenly, their betting odds for The Rock to just appear at WrestleMania, not to wrestle a match, has gone to 99% certain.
Wow. That is
out of nowhere.
That is a heck of a thing. I mean, he has got a movie to promote.
Well, yeah, Rampage comes out 4 days afterwards.
Yeah, the following week, yeah.
Yeah. So
you've seen the posters for Rampage.
It is crazy. So you've got Rock looking very naturally large at the front of the poster, and then you've got the ape behind him. Then you've got a giant wolf thing behind that, and behind that there's some kind of like
alligator monster.
Fierce alligator monster. Yeah.
Like I've got a bit of a stake in all of this because it's kind of I've got a book about it. So I was excited for Rampage regardless. Mm. At least I didn't have the book here to be like, oh, by the way, I've got my book.
Seamless.
So I already have kind of like a stake in the ground to be like, I'm excited for Rampage. But these latest posters have made me go like, man, I want to see this film.
Oh, right. I didn't know which way you were going to go
like,
there.
Like the trailers have done a little for me. But I see those trailers and I'm like, it's a giant monster movie starring The Rock. Mm. Of course I'm in. Like, yeah. I'm so down for this.
I rewatched the trailer this morning. It was a lot better than I remember. Rock's got great comedic timing. Looks like it's quite comedy heavy, which it has to be.
I was going to say.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I got like, someone said this, like, oh, it's just another Hollywood ruining a video game, taking itself too serious. And I was like, if anything, this film is not taking itself seriously.
Yeah, the opening gag in the trailer I watched is a guy peeing himself.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, ha ha ha, and the ape played a joke on him. See, lol.
I'm the humor. As long as it doesn't take itself like too comedic, I just don't want it to take itself too seriously. I think that you've got to strike that right balance, almost like San Andreas, the same writers and director and star, which was a film that was mad, but also didn't take itself too seriously.
Well, that's all we've got time for today, so please click the videos that have just appeared over.
I'm going to stop you there because I thought you were going to do another segment.
Mm. But we've run out of time.
But I've got you something.
Oh, what? Oh, damn it. Should have seen this coming.
Happy birthday, man. I apologize for the wrapping
paper. Is it your book?
My book is much thicker than that. Yeah. So, before you open this, I bought this present. I've had a lot on my mind recently because it's my wife's 30th birthday, so I've been doing a lot of planning for that. So, I bought this thinking, like, this should be quite good. Then it arrived in the post, and I've just lost all faith in it.
Oh,
and I've completely lost faith in this as a gift.
Well, it is a book.
But it is something that I think that you can get some benefit out of. Because I know it's something that you do partake in most on a daily basis. And I'm hoping that it should help you in your quest to help with your fasting thing that you do, like your 24-hour fasting. So I'm hoping, because I know you... If you don't like it, I'm cutting this bit out of the video. But
sure I will like it. Well, I have to. You're right here. just for podcast listeners, this is a... You know, it's like a sort of a notebook-sized floppy square with mint... A Christmas pudding wrapping paper.
Yeah, it's floppier than I was expecting. That's what she said.
I'm wearing one of my one of my birthday presents from my lady partner.
Oh yeah,
it's some nice cat socks.
Oh, cat socks!
If you can see that,
lovely
on
stuff.
The, yeah,
they're
like
very
those.
Nice.
I walked in to a happy birthday in balloons this morning.
I saw the picture. It was lovely.
My mum. So I got, you know, you get the messages on the family thread, their family WhatsApp thread.
Just that I haven't been invited to, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would be strange. And, you know, my nickname in my family is Chappie.
Chappie. That's cute.
So my sister's like, you know, happy birthday, Ollie, because she doesn't partake in that. She's pretty cool. My dad says, happy birthday, Chappie. And my mum goes, happy birthday, Crappy. Hope you have a great day. Cheers, mum.
I love your mum.
Yeah. She's you want to so see nice. That? She sent so many emojis after it.
Aww.
I'm just going to get up the message. Look, happy birthday, Crappy. Have a wonderful day. Sorry, not awake properly. I meant Chappie.
Then, like, about 100 kisses.
Yeah. And I say, it's taken you 30 years, mum. Finally, let me know how you feel. So, okay, let's...
let's open this book. I'm a bit worried about this. Honestly, if you think it's pants, just say it's pants, because I appreciate that it is actually a bit pants.
Well, I imagine it's going to be some form of... Yeah, wrestling. Ooh, okay. Oh, a smoothie.
Yes, that's right. Because
that's pretty handy.
Well, sorry, because there's loads of stuff in there, and you have loads of the... Well, you drink them on a daily basis as a way to kind of replace meals and stuff. So I thought I'd buy you something where... And I know you're not a man who likes possessions. So this is small.
That's useful.
It's floppy, and it's useful.
Well, I like practical possessions. So, yes. Oh, thank you very much.
You're
that
very
is
welcome.
Good.
Oh, thank God for that.
Ah, cheers.
I was worried. It arrived yesterday, and I picked it up, and I was like, oh, no.
Tasty looking things in here.
I got back from D&D, and I opened it up, and I was like, oh, dear. I think I made a terrible error, but it's too late now.
God, that's who we are. You get back from D&D, and your smoothie present for your friend. It's a... I used to have a personal trainer who was Polish, and his command of the English language was excellent, apart from one word that he used so often, and it was smoothie, but it came out as smooty.
Oh, nice!
He's like, have you been trying your smooties? So I always think smooty.
Lovely.
I see smoothies.
Genuinely glad you did like that present. I was a bit concerned.
Cool. So you've kept that in, I guess, for the podcast.
Yes, that will be in the podcast, yeah.
Luke Threadendy would take it out if I didn't like it. Can we have a... I'm going to randomly open a smoothie recipe.
Yep.
Oh, the strawberry barb. 5 of your 5 a day with just 5 ingredients. Lychees. Don't like lychees.
Mm.
The innerness is...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a also, bit untidy.
It sounds like something that if you went into an Amazonian jungle, you might get attacked by while crossing a stream.
Yeah, lychee. So I think lychees looks like something. And a lot of people have pointed out that the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal trophy also looks like this thing. Have you seen the criticism?
I haven't seen there's a trophy.
There's a trophy. Of course, they've removed Moolah, but now the what's left is a uterus. I will get you a picture. Talk while I'm Googling.
Well, I'm just going to... I struggle when you do these bits because I'm just going to now say what you're typing. He's just typing in Women's WrestleMania Battle Royal Trophy.
It's hard to type. Like, if you were talking about something different.
Yeah.
And I could just simply write that, but... Because it was too... Oh,
oh
no. I can't find a picture now.
That's the under
seats had a...
Cage side seats.
This is radio, guys.
This is why
Women's
we
Battle
are...
Royal.
This is why
trophy.
We get all those great reviews saying, like...
good luck on seeing this. Yeah, that was the title.
Yeah. I also suddenly realised, well, you haven't opened up iTunes to bring up reviews to do, are
you?
Oh,
we're not going to have time to do that. there it is. Okay, well, that's
a picture of a uterus.
So there
it
is.
That does look like a uterus.
Yeah, but you only notice it's a uterus when someone points out.
Yeah.
So I think so it's the whole trophy shape with the handles, but the handles are perfectly
like the
sort
tubes.
Of there for the ovary tubes.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah.
Ovary tubes. I used to love ovary tubes, and then they changed it to Starburst.
Oh, nice. So yeah, that's a... It's a big vagina for the Women's Battle Royal trophy.
Progression. Mm. Anyway, so I suppose we'll just have to wrap it up there because we've got no reviews to get through.
But we'll be back on Monday with our NXT call-up picks, some quick-fire questions, and loads of lovely stuff.
Loads of other fun.
Yeah, but not an unboxing. You'll have to go to the YouTube channel.
Absolutely. And I love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.